Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. For me, one of the most astonishing details in this very well-known chapter in Acts chapter 3 is to consider how this man who had been daily carried to the gate of the temple in his paralysis and his disability was in one moment taken from an existence of being unable to move and physically care for himself to another, and quite a different another situation. From one life of barely hoping for the best to then tasting more than he ever possibly expected. And today it is that area of expectation that I want us to consider as we think about this message more than expected. I'm reminded of the Queen of Sheba when she visited Solomon in 1 Kings 10 and verse 6 and verse 8. She came not expecting to see all that she ended up did seeing. We listen to her words in 1 Kings 10 and verse 6. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I hear in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And then she goes on to express the half which was not told, and the wisdom and the prosperity and everything which exceeded the fame which she heard. Here was an individual all of those years ago had heard things, but the things that she found out to be true concerning Solomon and his estate far more than she had ever expected. Now, as we go back to this portion in Acts chapter 3 and from a slightly different perspective, we can also note a transition from one expectation to another in the life of this individual. And that's what I want us to do for a few moments in this message. And notice with me that he had a limited expectation. In verse 5, we read that he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This was really a natural expectation. Remember, if you go over the portion of scripture that we have here in Acts chapter 3, Peter fastened his eyes upon this man with John, and listen to what Peter and John said to him. They said, Look on us. Now think about that man who was sitting there by the gate. And again, think about his condition that was daily and it was continual. His natural response would have been along these lines. And we read in the Bible that he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. In other words, here was this man sitting there, along come Peter and John, and here is their cry as they fix and they fasten their eyes upon this man. They say to him, Look on us. His natural and his immediate expectation is to receive something. He's poor, he has nothing, he needs money, he needs food. And so he hears these words, he hears this cry, and he's expecting something to help him in the natural realm. But what is important is to remember that his attention was stirred nonetheless. I say this by really drawing from the words of Peter when he said, Look on us. I suggest that maybe this man's head was down, his eyes to the ground. And there he was in a pitiful condition, asking for alms, asking for help. Is it not heartbreaking that this was his only hope, that was to get something, just something for a time, something physically to help him through that day or possibly into the day afterwards? This tragically is the view of many in regard to, even to the existence of the church in our day and what the substance of the Christian faith is for some people, seeing only a means to relieve temporal burdens. And for many who are not saved, they might look at the church along those lines. They don't see any spiritual benefit. They don't see any eternal benefit from hearing the gospel. For many, the social view of the church, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be helping people. Indeed, we certainly should be as part of an expression of our faith. What I'm saying is that for many people who have no time for God and no time for the gospel, their general view, the general picture of the Christian church is, well, what can it do for me in a temporal sense? How can the Christian church, or how can some expression of religion, help me and my material needs? That's the natural condition of the sinner outside of Christ. The reality is, there is an inability to see the vast spiritual riches which are in Christ unless the eyes are opened, unless the gift of faith is given to the poor soul. And so we see a natural expectation. Peter said, look on us. And here was this man who lifted his poor head and eyes towards the direction of Peter and John. And he was expecting something, but he wasn't expecting the thing that he needed. But then there was an opportunity in his expectation. Let's remember that when he heard the words, look on us, there was something of an expectation. And this was something that Peter and John could seize upon, and they did that. And that reminds me that when God is calling, and he does call men, and he does call women, and I trust that even as you listen to this message today, that maybe if you're not saved, you know that God has been calling you, and he has been speaking to you, and that people have been saying to some extent, like Peter and John, look on us, through the preaching of the gospel. So when God calls for the preaching of the gospel, it's because there is always that he has something to say, and the very thing which we all need. We know that the Bible attaches the promise of finding him with seeking him. And so there is a reminder for us, even in this thought in Acts chapter 3, as we consider the approach of Peter and John, that we as believers ensure that our evangelism, our witnessing, is never neglected. God has called his church to be emissaries by being missionaries, to represent the gospel, to be ambassadors of it. And part of that is to go alongside individuals and do a Peter and do a John and go to those poor people, those who are in the streets, those who are in the byways, those that others would entertain or have no notion of entertaining in their life, and go to them with a heart of love and say, look on us, because it provides an opportunity. It provides them a degree of expectation. We know that people will never hear without the preacher and never hear without the Christian who witnesses. And this is what Peter and John were set to do. The desperate need of this individual created a longing for something, and what they gave him was something far more than he imagined. And that brings us to my last point. It was an instructed expectation, not just a limited one, and that limitation is really the thought that this man was only looking for physical help, but we see an instructed expectation. And we come now to the very well-known words of Peter in verse 6. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter, and we assume John, spoke in such a way as to assure this man that if they had physical wealth, well, yes, they would give it to some extent. They did not disregard or fail to register his immediate need. But however, this was not in their authority or their power to give. We might conclude from that these men, Peter and John, were not wealthy as well. These were apostles that lived on next to nothing. They lived from day to day. There is nothing in the Bible that indicates the apostles had great wealth. None of these things, to some extent, really mattered to them. But though they could not give what could only perish, they could give what would never perish. Few verses in the Bible are filled with such a transition of thought as the verse before you today, my friend. From what they didn't have to what they do have. From what they could not do to what they could do. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In closing, let's consider the following things. Firstly, while silver and gold may remedy a present affliction to some extent, i.e. hunger and poverty, no amount of wealth can ever address our eternal need. Just like no amount of wealth could really address this man's lame condition. Now, I know that some might object and say, today if there was money, you could alleviate his pain and relieve his suffering. But that's not the point of the passage. In this instance, even if Peter had gold and John had silver and they could give that, the point was the man would still remain lame. There would have been a temporary easing of his burden, but it would return, and it would be heavier considering having just tasted some sort of temporal relief. That's true of the unsaved and those who aren't Christians, whose expectation alone is in this passing world and the things of it. And when they find the things, and when they get things, and when they obtain things, they realize they're not satisfied, and that need for something more is always there. And then secondly, this man's disability, his paralysis, paralleling as it does his spiritual need, reminds us that God in salvation addresses our greatest need, not the areas that we think we have need of. And that's also something really important to remember. If you were to stop someone in the street and ask them a question, what's your greatest need? Seldom will they say their soul. But the diagnosis of God is that the need is first and foremost our soul, our need of God, our need of Christ. And if that is the method and the way that God was working here in Acts through Peter and John, this man, so too for us. You see, what was given in Christ deals with the root, not the individual branches, the core, and not the exterior. Thirdly, as witnesses and preachers and messengers and Christians, we too must be able to say, such as I have. In other words, it is not possible to present Christ to another soul if you have not known him yourself. And that's what Peter could do. Listen, we don't have silver and gold, but Peter and John, what do you have? We have Christ. We have him, we know him, he's changed our lives, he's saved our souls, he's our master and our Lord. And to this man, whatever his name was, we cannot give you the things that you're asking for, but we can give you what you need because we have known him too. In Acts 4 and 20, we read, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 2, 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. The Christian is compelled by the reality of the risen Christ and the experience of grace. And as a result, we can go to a world and say, such as we have, we give you. And then lastly, in our presentation of the answer, we don't hold back in our offer. Peter says, give I thee, such as I have, give I thee. You're not beneath me. You're not below the offer of the gospel. You're not outside the realms of possibility. And even though everyone would reject this man, not Peter, not John, there was a free giving of what they had. Peter did not know whether or not the man would be willing to hear. And so often when people discover they're not going to get money, then it's from Christians, they switch off, interest goes, because the motive initially was carnal. But for this man, he doesn't switch off. Because I believe that though he sat there and begged for physical things and material things, he was there by the temple. He understood he had a greater need, a more total need of Christ. And the Lord brought a Peter and a John along his pathway, right to his feet, fixing their eyes upon his. Look on us. We can't give you what you think you need, but we can give you what your soul needs. And Peter says, give I thee. Willing to give this great offer of the gospel, to give what Peter had received himself. This was more than the man expected, and it was everything which he needed.